Get your Bibles, turn with us to Colossians, the book of Colossians. We're going to be in chapter number 3. One of the great truths that Paul is expressing in this short book of Colossians right here is the preeminence of Christ. And just to look back at real quickly through some things, you'll find in the book of Colossians it's Christ. Paul declares Christ preeminent in creation. And the Bible says that He is above all things, and by Him all things consist. I'm glad I know Him as Lord and Creator tonight. You know, the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And, you know, man, he's trying to figure it out, how it all come about. But you can just read the first verse of your Bible and you'll see how it come about. And you just have to accept by faith the things that we don't understand and can't explain. God did it. He said He did it. And that's good enough for me. So Christ is preeminent in creation. He's preeminent in redemption. The Bible says, He delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. No other name under heaven given among man whereby we must be saved. There's no other way. There's a lot of different religions in the world, but there's one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He is preeminent in redemption. He's also preeminent in His church. He's got to be the head of the church. If Christ is not the head, then you don't have a church. The Bible says that He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. And so I'm glad I'm in a church that puts Christ first. And we take the Word of God, we try to preach by it, we try to teach by it, and we try to live by it. And I'm glad that we've got a King James Bible tonight, and we use that at Liberty Baptist Church. But tonight in Colossians chapter number 3 right here, what I want to focus on is the preeminence of Christ in the Christian. Now, we can say that Christ has the preeminence at Liberty Baptist Church, but is He preeminent in your life, in your Christian life? And we want to look at some verses right here and bring a message right here to you tonight to try to focus our lives upon what Christ expects out of us and what we can do to be more Christ-like. And so, looking in, I'll just read the first four verses right here of Colossians chapter number 3. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Would y'all pray with me? Father, we love You and we thank You, dear God, for this privilege, Lord, to be in the house of God on Wednesday night. Lord, we ask You, Lord, to open our hearts and minds to the Word of God tonight and pray that the Holy Ghost would minister to us tonight and speak to us, Lord, and help us, Lord, to draw closer to You, Lord, and You to us, Lord. We love You. Ask Your blessings tonight, God, upon them, Lord, that's sick and hurting tonight. Lord, You know all their needs, Lord, and all about everything that's needed in our lives, Lord. We pray, O God, tonight, Your will be done. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen. All right. Now, let's look at some things right here. I'm talking about the preeminence of Christ in the Christian's life. We live in the last of the church ages, the Laodicean church age, the worldly church age. And so there's a battle going on in our lives day by day. Just might as well just face up to it and say yes. Battle this world every day. This world has a pulling power, a drawing power. The things of this world, the flesh is attracted to it. And we battle it every day of our lives, and we will till we go to the grave. Christ, He gives us a firm warning in Revelation chapter number 3 that He's not pleased with the Laodicean church age. He says, you're lukewarm. And He says, because of that, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. A great warning. He says that you say you have need of nothing, but in truth, you're wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And so that's a stern warning to you and I to guard ourselves against this world. We have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. You see, the problem in most churches today is the Christians have become worldly, and so the church has crept in. You can't tell a Christian now from the world. So we have to guard our lives because of the things like that. But now let's go back into the Scripture right here and look at what the Bible says. He says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. You know, that little word if right there is a big word. If you then be risen with Christ, if you're born again, if you're a true Christian, there's some things that need to be straightened out in our lives, as Paul is fixing to tell us right here. So, if you're a Christian, or since you're a Christian, you can say, well, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. So, since you're saved, let's get some things ironed out in our life. All right. Now, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Now, I want to go through three things tonight. I want us to look at the new man and his desires, the old man and his deeds, and the new man and his directions. And so let's look at some things, a fact tonight. If we're risen with Christ, we know that if we look back in Ephesians chapter 2, we can see that what we were before Christ came to us and we were born again, we were dead. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to the course of this world and of the children of disobedience and were subject unto the wrath of God. Dead. But when we accept Christ, when we come to Christ repenting and we get tired of this old life that we're living in and we want to be saved and live a godly life, a Christian life, and then that's what he's talking about, being born again and having our lives totally changed right here. And so that's what we need today in our lives. Now, look at this right here. I want us to look in Romans chapter number 6 to sort of help explain this just a little bit better of what I'm talking about. In Romans chapter 6, he says these words. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So, when we're baptized, when we go down into that watery grave of baptism, it's symbolic that the old man's dead, and we're being raised as Christ was raised from the grave to walk in newness of life. And as I've been a born-again Christian, there ought to be a desire in our heart to walk a Christian life and be a good example to others that are lost about us. Ain't you glad that when you were lost, that maybe it was a relative, maybe it was a friend or somebody shined some light on you. You saw a difference in their life and them as a Christian. I'm glad there's people that still live in the Christian life in this old dark world that we're in today. A little light goes a long way in the dark. And you never know what little Christian gesture that you have in front of somebody that's lost, how it's going to affect their life, and it can affect their eternity. And so we ought to let our lights shine in this old dark day in which we live. But let's talk about the new man and his desires right here. First of all, I want to say that we must put on the right mind. Putting on the right mind. And we're told that we ought to put on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind did Christ have? He had a mind of humility. He had a mind of service, of love towards others, sacrifice, and even suffering. And that ought to be our attitude, to be more Christ-like as we journey through this old world in which we live today. Being a Christian, putting on the right mind and the mind of Christ. You know, we do a lot of things in this old world to develop our minds. We go to school and we study the books and things of this world. But right here's a book that we need not neglect. The King James Bible right here, the Word of God. This is the most important book that you or your children will ever have in their hands. And so they need to be taught. And the things of God is so important in everybody's life. And so putting on the right mind. What does he say about putting on the right mind right here? He says to seek those things which are above. Seek heavenly things. And just as I said a few minutes ago, this world has a drawing power. And I guarantee you got plans for tomorrow, worldly plans for tomorrow. But we don't even have a promise of tomorrow, do we? Amen. We do have a promise if we're saved of heaven. And so we ought to put on a heavenly mind. He says to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And so, that's a job sometimes, isn't it? We live in this world where we, you know, it seems like we're caught up in the things of this world to where it's pulling us away from God. Look around the house tonight. Where's everybody at tonight? And, you know, the world's got folks. It's a sad day when a person professes to be a Christian and they can only give Christ about an hour a week. Now, that's just a fact. And, you know, I hope that we can keep our minds right. Keep our minds. Paul says, keep your minds focused on heavenly things, the most important things, the eternal things. Heaven and earth going to pass away, but, you know, the things of God that we do for the Lord, we're sending things over. We're laying up treasures in this world that's going to burn up. But listen, heavenly treasures, that's something that'll last all eternity. And so putting on the right mind, seek the heavenly. But he also goes on right here and he says this, to set your heart. He said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Man, that's a mouthful, isn't it? This is God's instructions to His children. Set your affections on things above. Set your affection on things above. Man, I tell you, we're so blessed. We got so many things at our disposal as we go through life to keep our minds focused on the worldly things, worldly stuff. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. I'm going to get this. Or, man, it's a constant battle of the mind. But Paul says, if we're going to let Christ, if Christ is going to be preeminent in our life, then you got to set your mind on things above and set your affection, your heart, on things above. And so, tonight I'm just trying to give me some instruction and give you some instruction on how to live a Christian life pleasing to God. Seek the heavenly. Set your heart. This old earth's going to burn up. It's going to burn up. And it may not be long. Jesus is soon to come. And so we better be ready when He does come. And not only putting on the right mind, seeking heavenly, setting your heart, but the saints' hope. Notice what he said in verse 4. He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. I'm glad I'm headed to heaven. He said, when Christ, who is our life, there is no life in any other. You know, I've seen people live their lives down here in this old world right here, never giving any thought to eternity and the things of God, and they go through life and they leave God out of their life, and all of a sudden they're gone one day. And nothing of this world that they had is worth 2 cents. You came into this world naked, and that's how you're going to leave out. With nothing. And I tell you what, I'd rather live a life and be as poor as dirt and know that I'm rich in faith and know that I'm going to heaven than to have all the things of this old world right here. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? This old world has nothing that you can take with you when you leave out of here. Amen. But Christ has everything. There's riches. Riches untold. And I wanna walk into heaven someday. I ain't been faithful in a lot, but I sure would love to hear him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things." And that's what I want to be. I want to be faithful in a few things. But I'm telling you, it's a battle. It's a battle. And so, in this battle, we've got to put on the right mind. A heavenly mind. Our hearts set on things above. And you know, when we live that kind of life, and it affects so many people around us every day. You know, I remember when I was a child and growing on up, 10, 11, 12 years old, my mother's side of the family, they were Christians. My aunts, my uncle. And you know, I hardly ever got around them. Hardly ever got around them where Jesus wasn't mentioned. Where God wasn't mentioned. And boy, it had an effect on me as a lost boy. And you know, it do us good while we're down here in this old world. During the day, working, playing, whatever we're doing, to get our minds on heavenly things. When we're around some folks, because they're watching us. If you profess to be a Christian, if you're a member of Liberty Baptist Church, somebody's watching you. They want to see what you've got. Somebody lost is watching you to see what you've got. I know it by experience. I know when I was a lost person, I was like that. I watched people that professed to be a Christian. And, you know, I didn't know what they had, but I knew they had something. It was different. And deep down inside, I wanted what they had. And it makes a difference. So, I'm talking about the preeminence of Christ in a Christian's life. The new man and his desires. Our desires ought to be heavenly. Heavenly things. Okay, let's move on now. Not only the new man and his desires, but the old man and his deeds. Verses 5 through 10, look at this. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There's a warning right there that God ain't pleased with these kind of things, and He'll bring wrath upon you. He says this, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now I'm talking about putting off the old man and his deeds. Put him off. That's a command. I know what I was before God saved me. And let me tell you something. It's a growing process. It's a killing process. He says this right here, to mortify. That means to put to death. There's some things in your life that needs killing. Amen. You know why? Because we still got the old sin nature. there's a battle that goes on within us day by day. So we got to put him off, mortify, put to death immorality, lust, evil desires. Evil desires leads to evil deeds. A fleshly appetite will lead to fleshly deeds. Amen. And so Paul, he names all these different sins right here. And God had him to write this right here. He says, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. Ain't no need to get to thinking you're better than anybody else. Because you're not. It's in us all. And Paul says you got to kill it. When you see something coming up, and if you're a saved person, you don't have to ask if something is sin. You know it. You have the Holy Ghost living within you to show you right from wrong. And so we have to kill these things. Our flesh is corrupt. Amen. Look at this. Look at this right here in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. I'm talking about the flesh and its corruption. And list right here, he says in verse number 19 of Galatians chapter 5, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, those are strong statements, strong words. And Paul says if these things try to creep into our life and the old man tries to rear up, you better kill it. You better kill those things. It's taking you in the wrong direction. It's taking you towards the wrath of God. And you better know that if you're a child of God, He's going to chastise you. He'll burden you through that of the Spirit of God. He'll convict you, bring a burden of conviction upon you. If you harden your heart against conviction, and He'll chastise you. He'll put stripes on you. You're going to have some troubles. You're going to have some things that you're not going to like in life. And if you harden your heart against chastisement, He'll bury you. Amen. Listen to me now. I've seen it. I could name some people right now that went to an early grave because they got away from God and they wouldn't heed the call of to come back to God. They wouldn't heed the Spirit of God. They went on their way and they wound up young in an early grave. And so God's serious about this thing. And He wants His people to live a Christian life. We're the light of the world. And we've got to let our light shine. The flesh is corrupt. And the fight is constant. Tomorrow, when you go out into this world, you'll be battling a fight. It'll be the toughest fight you've ever been in. Battling against yourself. And what does the Bible say again in Galatians right here? Chapter 5, verse 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Listen to this. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. One of the greatest preachers that wrote this book right here in Galatians and in Colossians, if you go back into Romans, you'll find that Paul, he had a trouble with his flesh, as great a man of God as he was. In Romans chapter 7, he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. He said that sin is in me. And it's a battle every day of our lives to live a Christian life. You know what sin will do? It'll separate you from the fellowship of God. It'll bring conviction on you. It'll make you feel low as dirt. And you'll not be any kind of good influence on anybody. And so this is what we have battle with every day. My battle's not with you. And, you know, I know there's a real devil. And I know this world has a drawing power that I have to battle that in my life. But my biggest problem is me. Amen. It's me. And nobody knows me better than the Lord. And I know what's in me. And I know what's in you. And what we're all capable of. And so it's a battle day by day. This fight, this flesh is corrupt. This fight is constant. But there's a fruit that must be cultivated. He says this in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with their affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Let me just hit this right here in chapter number 6. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," and by the way, we all got them faults. We all got them. Nobody's exempt from this verse right here. "If a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Verse 3 says, "For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself." I'm subject to faults and failures, and so are you. And so is anybody that battles this flesh, battles this world and the devil. We're subject to falling, but we're not to kick each other to the gutter. We're to love one another and restore one another and go on for the cause of Christ. Because none of us is perfect. I'm not perfect. Brother Ken's not perfect. You're not perfect. And we're human. And it's a battle. It's a battle. The old man and his deeds. The new man and his desires. But last of this, and the new man and his directions. He says in this passage right here, we're to put on the new man. We're not a puppet. There's things we have to do for ourselves. And if we gotta battle this old man and put him off, we've got to study what Christ expects out of us as a new man. Studying and praying. Growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting on this new man. We've been chosen by the Father. We've been redeemed by the Son of God. And we've been sealed by the Spirit of God. We have the ability. We have the power. Even though we'll fail and we'll fall at times, pick yourself up. God's not going to kick you to the gutter. He wants you back on your feet. And going on for the glory of God. So we must put on this new man. This Christ-like man. This changed man. Back in our text right here of Colossians chapter 3. Notice this. He says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Christ ever forgiven you of anything? Everything He has, hadn't He? If you're saved, He's forgiven you of everything. When you were an enemy of God, He's forgiven you of that. You're a child of God now. And He says when somebody offends you, when somebody does you wrong, as Christ has forgiven you, you forgive them too. If you're going to get a prayer through to God, one of the things in that great prayer that Christ taught His disciples to pray was forgiveness. Forgiveness. And that's something that's lacking in a lot of folks' life. "Well, they did me wrong. Well, I don't like them and they don't like me and blah, 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 blah." You better make your head Christ loves you. And let me tell you, not everybody is going to love you, but Jesus does. Amen? If you go through this life, you're going to offend somebody sometime or another. Amen? And somebody's going to offend you. Somebody's going to make you mad enough to jap slap them. But you know what? Christ says forgive them. I'm talking about the new man. And the old man's right there saying, slap them. But the new man says, love them, forgive them. And so it's a battle. Putting on the new man. We're commanded. We've been changed. We've gone from death to life. And putting on this new man, we're commanded to be merciful. We're commanded to be kind. We're commanded to be humble, forgiving, loving, peaceful, thankful. We're commanded in these words right here to let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. His Word, His wisdom, His worship. And one another, right? Notice he says this, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're not to tear down one another. We're to build up one another. You know what? If you walk with me every day and you watch me, maybe you work with me down on the job or something like that, you know what you'd do? You'd find something wrong with me. But it's not your privilege to tear me down. It's your privilege to pick me up and help me. If I've got faults, tell me. Help me. I don't need you to go over here to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and say, well, what do you think about old brother Mike? Let me tell you what he done. That's not what God wants out of His children. We're the body of Christ, members in particular. We're knitted together to live a Christ-like life in this old world. If we're going to make a difference, then we have to love one another. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. Kind of goes along with what I preach Sunday. And it's up to us to be Christ-like. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Get your mind set on heavenly things and your heart set on heavenly things, not on things of the earth. Strong words. But God give them to you and to me to pattern our lives by. And so, to be Christ-like, we're going to have to put Christ first. Talking about the preeminence of Christ in the Christian's life. Some things we have to do on a daily basis. Amen. Thank y'all for being here. That's all I have. I appreciate your attention and your